Third Mother's Day here
at this church, and I was looking back and I said, well, this I haven't shared a Mother's Day message since I've been here, and so I wanted to do something with that, with Mother's Day on my heart this morning, and I have several things to share. I want to do it in a timely way, but Mother's Day, and just Mother's Day is a day to honor your mom, whoever that is, your natural mom, but we also have spiritual moms as well. Who nurture us and grow us in the faith, but reach out to your mom. It wasn't until I got older and became a parent myself that I really, really appreciated my mom and all that she did. I remember after Andrea gave birth, I called my mom. She was like, thank you, Mom. I don't know how you did it. And so in just the child-rearing stage and everything. So your mom's put a lot into you. Love on them and honor them today. If you are a mother, allow people to love on you and honor you, because it's a ministry. And I'm going to speak some about that in a way this morning. Your family is ministry, and we have to think generationally like that. But I do want to share a few things about Mother's Day. And I was looking, you go and turn with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17, verse 15 through 19. I was struck by something this week, and I want to try to get it out. When I'm done at the very end, I'm going to have something very practical, thing that almost a spiritual exercise that to take home with you. But this is about Abraham and Sarah, which is a story that we're probably familiar with. I hope so. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, it says, "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah,'" and that's different pronunciations and spellings, as you can see, "but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Okay? I'm going to go down to verse 19, and it says, "Then God said, 'No, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his descendants after him.'" One thing, when you look at the story of Abraham, we usually just think about Abraham. But if you really look at it, Abraham and Sarah were called together, right? And the covenant wasn't just with Abraham. Sarah had to be the one that bore the seed. So often in our world, and unfortunately, and this is changing, we contend, especially in the church, we contend to look at the men and disregard the women from that angle. I would love to one day, and I thought about it, I'm not going to, I would love to take all the verses that people use in the church to put women down and give you the context of those. And I think I might do it someday. But God called Sarah with Abraham. Amen? It wasn't just Abraham, it was Sarah and Abraham together. For any married couple, I'll say this too. All of us as born-again believers, powered by the Spirit of God, whether you're behind a pulpit or in the marketplace, you're in ministry. And a husband and wife rightly join together the image of God in the earth. And God uses, I couldn't do what I do without my wife. She couldn't do what she has without me. We're tied together, okay? And so Abraham and Sarah were tied together. If you read throughout scriptures, in Galatians 4, Paul uses Sarah. And he gives Sarah as a picture and example of the new covenant, okay? In Hebrews, she's one of the few women who's mentioned. We call it the hall, like the hall of fame, the hall of faith. It's Sarah. She's mentioned in there as one of the women. Not just Abraham, but Sarah. Okay? In 1 Peter as well, I'm going to look at this passage later. 1 Peter 3, Sarah is described, Peter describes her as a mother to believers. Okay? This woman carries great significance. And I want to look just a little bit at her life. I want to share a few things about it. And what my heart is and kind of what I felt. And some of this just deals with, I see my wife right now in her own stage, all of her own stages of life. Sometimes, whether it's motherhood, whether it's working, whether it's raising, whatever it is, sometimes life can seem mundane. And we do things and we do things. And my heart was that Sarah, throughout her seeming mundane, waits, delays, screw-ups that she had. I want us to have a long-term perspective, because all those years of delay, all those years of wait that she had, all the questioning all she had, all the day-to-day, what is this, what am I doing, it all ended in something powerful where she was called in the hall of faith, mother to the nations, okay? And so in our life can seem insignificant, but I believe God's called us all to significance. And there's something within each and every one of us. If I take a long-term generational approach and see how God's orchestrated things in our life, amen? And so I want to look just briefly at the story, and we should know this. I'm not going to take a lot of time with it. Genesis 12, okay? God calls Abraham out. Leave your homeland. Leave your country. Get out from them. And again, we often think of Abraham, but can you imagine Sarah in this process as well? Abraham goes, not knowing where he's going. Sarah also, don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Is this God? Is this not God? And the Lord gives Abraham a promise about descendants. Descendants. Now, if you're a wife, Sarah was barren. Was she not? Barrenness was a real stigma in that time. And if you could not have a child, it meant your family line diminished, the way women were treated in those times. So sometimes we read Scripture, especially if you've grown up in church, and I know the end of the beginning from the story. Oh, I know what happens in this. And we don't factor in years that pass, or these are real people. What were they actually thinking about? What would I be thinking about? And so if you're Sarah, and Abraham's called, and you're hearing Abraham says, Sarah, God's speaking to me about my descendants. And she says, I'm barren. Can you imagine the pressure that put on her? What can I do? God, you have a calling. You've spoken to my husband. Years have gone by. I can't produce a child. What can I do? And you look through all they did. If you go through chapter 12, chapter 13, Pharaoh took her in. Remember that? And she was so beautiful that Abraham had to lie about her. And she was taken and pulled in all these places. God kept speaking and speaking, descendant, descendant. And after 10 years, from Genesis 15 to 16, she's been hearing this, and she's been hearing this, and she's been hearing this, and there's nothing. Have you ever had a delay in your life where there's nothing? And so what does she do? In 15 and 16, between chapter 15 and 16, she says, Sarah says, perhaps I shall obtain children by her, speaking of her maid Hagar. So what can you imagine is going on? Oh, that's a carnal plan for children. If you were in that situation and you said, I'm getting older and I'm getting older and I'm getting older. God has this purpose. He has this purpose. I'm walking. I'm seeing nothing. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. You get panicky, right? Well, God, I'm going to make this happen. And you go do something. Well, it's easy to put these folks down, but we consider the years and the years. Sometimes I have a hard time going a week and not seeing God spoke something to me and I don't see it in a week. I start, oh, God, did you really say this to me? And there's years and there's years and there's years. And she has a carnal plan for children. And then if you go between chapter 16 and 17, do you know how many years are between that? It's 13 more. God didn't say anything to them, as we can record in Scripture, for 13 years. Can you imagine that? God says, just say boo to you for 13 years. And you've still got this thing in you. God's called me to something, and it's not happening. God spoke something to me, and it's not happening. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Let me share something with you. And when I look in Scripture and I see time, and I see thousands of years, and we have the passages and something we can read in 15 minutes, we lose track of time. But let me look in 1 Peter. You don't have to turn there with me. 1 Peter speaks about her, and I mentioned this before. Let me turn here. Chapter 3, it says, verse 4, it says, Do not let your beauty be that of outward adorning or arranging of the hair, of wearing of gold or putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Verse 6, it says, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you also do good and are not afraid with any terror. I like original words, too, in here. And gentle actually means, it doesn't mean passive or weak. It means a controlled strength. She wasn't this, she developed a strength in those years. Quiet does not mean I'm afraid to talk to people. It means tranquility arising from within. So if you look within that time frame, what God did in this woman, did she make mistakes? Yes, she did. And let me say this too. She had a carnal plan for children. Just to encourage you, I believe oftentimes, you can disagree with me if you want, we often get it wrong before we get it right. And there's a proverb that says, the bend in the road is not the end in the road unless you fail to make the turn. The bend in the road is not the end in the road unless you fail to make the turn. It's like a GPS. My wife was coming here yesterday, and the power was out for like 4 hours. Kevin knows about it. I had electricians and these guys working out there. But Andrea had to come here for something, and she took a GPS to get here from our new house. And she didn't get here the right way. But aren't you glad when you miss a turn if you have a GPS? I'd say, you idiot, you made a mistake, go back to your house. What does it say? It was recalculating, right? That's how the Lord is with us. When I make a mistake, he doesn't say, now the kingdom's going to pop, you messed it up. No, I can make a mistake or something changes or something moves, and I have the ability to move and go with God, right? And Sarah did this. She was called a person and the mother of faith, not because she was perfect and did everything right the first time, and had a perfect attitude. Remember when she also laughed in chapter 18? Okay. Does she have a perfect attitude all the time? No. Do I have a perfect attitude all the time? No. But God's working and he's doing something. And just like the story of Joseph, in seasons of delay when God's spoken or when he's doing something and it's mundane and it's mundane and it's mundane and I can't find my way and I'm messing up and this and that, I challenge you that those days are not insignificant. They're purposeful. And I've spoken on this here before. A lot of times our future is determined by our present. If I'm not doing anything in the present, I'm probably not going to be doing anything 10 years from now. I walk in where God has me and what God has me doing. Let me say this. This was on my heart. I feel to share it. I thought about sharing Hannah. Hannah gave birth to Samuel. I mentioned it in one of the verses. But Hannah was also barren in 1 Samuel. And if you remember her story, Elkanah, her husband, had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And one of the wives, Peninnah, was very fruitful. And she would mock Hannah, criticize Hannah. Even when she went to the high priest Eli, Hannah was more spiritual than the priest. And she was praying. It says her eyes were closed, her mouth was going, and the priest thought she was drunk. Told her to put it away. I felt to share this. I'm going to say this. It doesn't completely go along. But in your life, we all know this. At some point and sometime, someone's going to do you wrong. Someone's going to nit at you. You're not being fruitful. I am. Sometimes, let me say this too, and I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. I'm saying it because I've seen this in my life. Sometimes it's really easy to latch on to hurt, whether it be from, in this case, was Eli, a church leader, and we have a bitter root that grows within us. Maybe it's on the job. I've been done dirty at work before. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. On the job, in your home, in your family. My parents were great. Sometimes other family members can drive you up the wall and do you wrong, do you dirty. And parents aren't perfect. We make mistakes. Parents make mistakes. How do you respond when that happens? A lot of things happen in Sarah's. Can you imagine the 10 and the 13 years of day-to-day wondering, God, when is this going to happen? What's happening? What's happening? What's going on? This person did me wrong. That person did me wrong. Joseph is the best example of this, put in jail unjustly. But how do you respond before God when someone does you wrong? I can go to him, or I can allow it to seep within me and deter me from my destiny. If I go to him and allow him to do a work within me, it produces a gentle and a quiet spirit. It produces strength. It produces a tranquility. It produces something where someone comes to you and says, wow, you carry a good spirit. You have a great presence about you. Why? Because I've allowed even other people, hurts, disappointments, delays, disillusionments, confusion. Oh, and I recognize that and I take that and I say, this is part of God's plan and purpose. How I deal with this today affects where God has me 10 years. And I have to look and say, God, you have a plan and purpose for me in the future. How I respond and how I deal with this today affects my walk going forward, right? Oftentimes we get mired in the today. And then instead of having a long-term vision for what God's called us for, we get tied into this. Okay? All right? I'm going to share a few things, other things with you regarding this. I spoke a while ago about pioneers and how basically, I'm not going to repeat that message. It was Pioneers of the Heavenly Way. And it's a book T. Alston Sparks wrote. It's a good one. And basically, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven governs. And Daniel says heaven rules. The things of heaven, things of earth have to align with the things of heaven, including our own life. And sometimes when things don't make sense, I get heaven's perspective on it. But as I look at our life, I read this passage this morning in Psalms 139. It says, you form my inward parts, you cover me in my mother's womb. In Jeremiah 1-5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. In Galatians 1:15, it says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. All of us were designed before the beginning of creation, before time, we're in the heart of God for a purpose that's more than just day to day, paying my bills, getting by, and waking up to the next day. And if I get something in my heart that says, you know what? I'm called to do something that transforms every area where I am. I have something within me, whether I see it or not, whether I do it or not. There's an old fable, and I want to share this because it's a great picture of what I want to say. Some of you may have heard it. It was three guys. They were masons. They were building. And a guy was looking at them, and he went to one, and he said, what are you doing? And he says, I'm laying bricks. What does it look like I'm doing? He says, okay. He goes to the next guy. He says, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a wall. That's what I'm doing. And he went to a third guy. And he said, what are you doing? And the guy was working hard, working well, in the face of flint. And he said, I'm building a great cathedral for God. That's what I'm doing. And he kept building. Three people doing the same mundane task. Three different perspectives. Does that stick with you as it sticks with me? All doing the same thing. One is just putting bricks down and isn't happy about it. One's just laying a wall. One of them is building a great cathedral for God. My son, just to give you an example of what I'm doing with this, I'm going to wrap up soon. My son loves, he's very creative, and I see that, Owen, and he likes to build, he spends. James gave him a boatload of Legos, and he spends hours building with those Legos. He's just a creative mind. And I see that, and I'm trying to nurture it in him. And he also, sometimes he'll be talking to himself, and I say, Owen, what are you talking? He said, I'm telling myself a story. I'm making up a story. And he's got his own little superhero he's created. And I said, Owen, I said, what do I want you to do? I said, that's really good. I want you to take what God's putting in your mind and put it on paper. I want you to use it. Now, why am I doing that? This is how I think. All right? I say, my son, God's given me my son. He's 6 years old. It's a ministry that I have. It's him. I want to pour into him as a father, mother or father. I'm pouring into my son because I want to see my son, if he continues in this vein, maybe he can create all of his own people. And what if he goes into it with a Christian, and it's almost like a stealth evangelism tool, and he can put his superhero out in public, and it speaks of a different, speaks of heaven's values rather than the earth's values. And what if other kids begin to read that? It changes their way of thinking. And it all starts from a mundane thing with my son playing with his Legos and saying something, and I'm saying, okay, this has a potential to be transformative. Can we think that way?
Amen.
It's how I think. It's mundane. It's day to day. There's no glory in that. But I'm looking long term. I'm saying, you know, my son has a potential. There's God-given gifts in him. I can do that at work too. I can do it with my boss. I can do it because all of us are in different places. I speak a lot about my young children because that's where our life is. I can say that's a day-to-day mundane thing where there's no fame or anything in it. It doesn't matter. It's if I view, just like Sarah did, the mundane, it might be years and years and years, but I'm going to pour, I'm going to invest, I'm going to speak something. If you look at it, I'm not going to, I would love to, the world evangelizes this way. I spoke something to you about that the other day. If you look at some of the things, the values that are contrary to the kingdom of God, if you watch how the world does them, they do it in very subtle ways. Amen? And so as kingdom people, we should be doing that as well. A few more things, and then I'm going to wrap up because I want to honor your time this morning. First thing is a play and then that I saw, and then I want to finish with something I heard in a sermon this week and I read. I remember I was at a youth conference. I might have shared this before, and it was a youth, it was a young guy, and he said, man, I have no purpose in life, nothing's happening. And the value of the play stuck with me forever, and I believe it's true. The guy was before God, and God showed him hundreds of thousands of people that his life affected and impacted and touched. And if you see, each and every one of us, wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, wherever I am, my life carries something of value. I'm either building something, I'm either seeing this kingdom of God further advanced by just the way I live my life, the things I say, or I'm seeing it denigrated. But your life, whether you like it or not, is impactful. One of the worst lies Satan tells people is that your life has no meaning. Everyone's life has great meaning and value. Okay? Right. Sometimes we don't often see that. I was listening to a word this week, and it's an old message. I found a guy on YouTube, and I love new and old stuff. I have a value for men and women of God who've gone on before us in some respects. And this was a woman, minister up in Michigan. She was affectionately known as Mama. That's what they did on Mother's Day, because she carried such a tremendous authority in God, and she mothered a lot of people in the faith. But she spoke on the passage in Ezekiel. I think Andrew read it this morning during worship. And it says, then he said to me, this is Ezekiel 37:9, it says, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, all breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies that they may live again. The title of our message was Prophesy to the Wind. Yes, in Acts chapter 3:24, it says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophet and of the covenant which God has made with our father, saying to Abraham, and your seed all the earth shall be blessed. In 1 Peter 1:10-12, it says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesy of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings and the glories that would follow. Here's what I'm going to get at. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering. Stop and think about that. Thousands of years ago, men and women of God getting something from the Lord and speaking prophetic purposes of God into the generations. Let's sink in. Which I have reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Are there dry bones in your life? Maybe it's a family member. Don't tell them that they are, or you can pray for them. But one thing, sometimes when I can hear a message and I pick up a book and I read it, like, oh, God, you're saying the same thing to me in two different ways. And the Lord dealt with me this week, and I'll be honest, that every time I came in this church this week, I came in here and I prophesied to the wind. And I spoke the prophetic purposes of God that He's put in my heart for this particular body in the days ahead. And I came in here and I did it. I do it for my children. I speak the purposes and the plans and the potential of God in them. Diana, you're a worshiper. You have an anointing. Break strongholds. And I speak and I tell her. And I speak forth something that can go forward to the future. Prophesy to the wind. There are dry bones in your life. Maybe just me, okay? I do, okay? In my life, whether it's a family member, whether it's a job situation, whatever it is. But I go in and I prophesy and I speak those things. I was meeting with that guy I told you about from Zambia a few weeks ago. And he was talking about he and his wife. He said, man, he has a ministry in a country of Thailand. He said, man, we're at the country I'm in. He said, it's 98% Hindu. And people are like, you can't do anything here. And he said, we've built this big facility. We've built this big apostolic center. We're doing these things. He said, we just learned how to speak it and call it out, call forth things as not as though they are. Amen?
Amen.
And so I can take something. I can say, Lord, you've put this in my heart. No one else is here. No one else is this. And I prophesy to the wind. I speak the purposes of God. Why am I saying that? And how does that align up with Sarah? Can you imagine Sarah, the mother of the nations, the mother of us all, speaks about, mother of faith. In all those years of delay, pressure put on her. You have to give birth, and I'm getting older, and I'm getting older, and I'm getting older. There's nothing happening. Years have gone by. Years have gone by. If that's you in any way, shape, it could be anything in your life. It can be anything. I mean, wherever you find yourself to be. I want to encourage you. What you're doing in the day-to-day, if I have a long-term rather than a short-term, it affects the future and I can speak. I said, Lord, this is what I see happening right now, but I know what your word says. If it's an unsaved loved one, guess what? It's not his will that any should perish, right?
Amen.
So I'm not like I'm just coming up with nonsense. Lord, I have an unsaved uncle. Uncle Bill. It's not his heart that he should perish. He'll hear the word of God. He's going to respond. And I start speaking and declaring the purposes in the heart and the counsel of God. That's a very practical thing, but it's an aspect of the prophetic that sometimes we miss. Because I want to prophesy to someone who's right here in front of me, or I want to prophesy something that's going to happen next week. But what if I have in my heart, even with my son, and I speak the word of God, something that could happen 30 years from now. And I have that perspective. And I say, what I'm doing today is valuable, it's important. Sarah, what she was doing in all the days where she was getting pulled aside, taken into Pharaoh's house. She had nothing. She was nothing. Something was done in her in those years, and the scripture doesn't fully record it. In 1 Peter, it does. You know, Sarah was a very beautiful woman, too. And I found some old, as I was looking at her life this week, there's I didn't bring it in to read it. But people were commenting on her beauty when she was in her 90s. They found documents of it. Yet that's not what we hear about in Peter. And we don't take that verse and say, women, you can't wear this or that. No, but your beauty should be what's in here. How does that happen? It happens in the day of delay. It happens when I don't see it. And I prophesy and I speak to the wind. And I trust God. It happens when I trip and I fall and I make a mistake. And I still say, hey, it's bending the road's not the end. I'm going to make the turn. And I keep going. Because I'm a person of faith. And I see the plan and provision of God. I know what He's spoken. I know what He has. And I'm going to go for that thing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's my heart this morning for you. To have a view and a perspective. Because often, especially as believers, we've been plagued with short-term mentalities. Right now, this is this. I think it was just in the practical. China. It says China, their economy. They've planned their economy 50, 100 years out. They do things today affecting them 50 to 100 years. We have politicians, bless their hearts, let's pray for them. We want to do something just to get elected next cycle. What if I'm thinking 50 to 100 years ahead and the legacy that you can leave on this earth through your children, through your jobs, through your work, wherever you go? Amen. When I go to the warm center and I see the guy Cedric, I can say, hey, I'm just talking to a guy. Or I can say, you know, right now God's using me to transform a man's life and maybe transform the drug dealer friend he's got. And my perspective starts to shift. And I said, what I'm doing now is bigger than just putting another brick on here. God's using me to build a great cathedral. Now, maybe I'll never get to see it here on this earth. But it's a great cathedral. And my steps today, when it seems like I'm doing nothing, it's building up. Some of you have been doing things in your life and in your heart, and it seems like nothing. But the word, where I could give individual names, I'm not going to call anyone out. But some of you are being obedient in little things that I've seen, I observe, and I watch from a distance. And the Lord says, what you're being obedient in those things has far more consequence than you realize. And it's far more powerful. And he who's faithful in little will be faithful in much. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the mothers who are here. Lord, I thank you for the biblical example of Sarah. Lord, as a mother of faith, Lord, you said mother of nations. Lord, you changed your name to mean princess of nations, actually, Lord. Lord, I ask that within each and every one of us, Lord, there's something that's imparted of a significance, Lord, that you form us in our mother's womb, not just to get by day to day, not just to pay the bills, not just to do the routine, but, Lord, you've called us to be transformative people in this earth, Lord, to see the values of you, your values, the values of heaven, Lord, become the values here, wherever you've put us on earth, whether it's our work or our home, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the pictures you put in your word that still speak to us today. Lord, through the comfort and patience and comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. And I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I just bless all the mothers in here. Lord, speak to their hearts. Give them restful and relaxing days. And we love you, and we honor you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Take your mother.